And today we continue our journey through the Names of God sermon series. And we've looked at God being the God of the angel armies, we've looked at God being the shepherd, and today we're looking at God the ascended one. And there might be some pictures coming up behind me at some point. Fantastic. The ascended one. But before we do that, we're going to have a third Bible reading today, which is from Acts 1. So if you want to follow that, it's on page 1031 in the church Bibles, the small print ones. And it's just a few verses from Acts. And it gives us a longer description of the ascension that we read about in Luke. So I'm going to read from Acts 1, verses 4, just to 11. And it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes and a cloud hid him. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. I'm sure many of us kind of hear similarities between Luke's account of the ascension and Luke's other account of the ascension in the book of Acts. There's quite a big link. Considering he wrote them both, that's kind of understandable, I guess. And in my head, I mentioned this on Thursday night at the Ascension service, that in my head it's a bit like, you know, when you get onto Netflix or Amazon Prime and you watch an episode of something, and often it says, boom, 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 last week this happened, and it gives you a synopsis of like the half an hour Luther episode in a few seconds. And then at the end of the episode, it says, next week, do-do-do-do-do. Or if you're on Netflix, next episode, and you're like, oh, I was only going to watch one, but okay, I'll give it a click. And before you know it, it's 2:30 in the morning, and you've watched the whole sermon series. I'm not watching sermons on Netflix. I'm not that sad. I mean, holy. Whoops. But that, to me, that's a bit like the ascension is in Luke and Acts, kind of. It gives you a bit of a hint. The one in Luke is a bit shorter, and it kind of says, if you carry on and read Acts, we're going to see a bit more of it. I know the analogy isn't perfect, but that might help us think about what's happening there with Luke and Acts. And the book of Acts is the history of the church. It's the growing number of people who have decided to follow the way. It's the way that Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, empowers his church to go and do all the things that Jesus did. Heal the sick, cast out demons, speak life to people that need to know that he loves them. And this history of the church, our church, we're part of that church, begins in many ways with this account of the physical ascension of Jesus. It's not some hyper-spiritual thing that the disciples felt in their hearts and it's all fluffy. This was the physical ascension of Jesus before their very eyes. But as so often the case, the question maybe is, so what? 2,000 years later, what does the ascension have to do with us, his church, his disciples today? Well, bear with me. But most of you are aware that I like coffee. I'm rarely seen in the prayer. In fact, those of you that are praying now will be nodding away because I'm rarely seen in a prayer meeting without a cup of black caffeine in my hand. I'm rarely seen driving without stopping at Costa lot and spending all my money on a drive-through coffee. There's something about it that is just really attractive. Maybe it's the teacher in me. And at home, I've got an espresso machine and a V60 and an AeroPress and all manner of things like that. And if you don't know what they are, please don't spend the whole of the rest of the sermon Googling what an AeroPress is. But you do need to invest in one. They're awesome. They're fab. And my point is that I know what I'm doing when it comes to coffee. My eyes are on the ball. When it comes to knowing which coffee shop to go to in Wellington for the good Wi-Fi, when it comes to knowing where the seats are which have the electrical sockets in Wetherspoons because they do okay coffee and it's cheaper, when it comes to know where the good coffee shops are in terms of the waiting times and what time of the day it is, I am your man. I know what it is to go for coffee. That's where my eyes are. I've got it. And a few weeks ago, I went to First, which was a worship event at the Baptist Assembly in Telford. And a few of us from Ignite went along, and I got there a bit early, and of course I thought, right, I need some coffee. I'm going to go and find a Costa. There's bound to be a Costa in Telford Convention Centre. Well, there wasn't. It was shut. But I found a vending machine, a coffee vending machine, second best. I thought, okay, that'll do. And I was chatting to Sharon Johnson. She was with me. And I was getting a bit excited about my coffee. I was like, oh, we'll get a coffee. Got my money out, put it in, pressed the button. And I was chatting to Sharon and just waiting for my coffee to appear. What I didn't do is read the instructions, because I'm used to posh coffee vending machines that pop the cup down as well. Do you know the ones I mean? You press the button and the cup goes, pop, and then the coffee goes, shh. And it says, please remove your cup, and you take it away. What am I paying the machine for if it doesn't do the cup for me, hey? Well, on this occasion, I didn't realise that I needed to put the cup there. And so I turned just to see my £2.50 worth of coffee just coming out of the pipe in front of me, into the kind of drainer thing and just draining away. I couldn't do anything about it. I didn't really think about putting a cup there quickly. Sharon was nearly wetting herself with laughter. Until I persuaded her to pay for my new one because I'd spent all my money. She wasn't as happy then. I hadn't got my eye on the ball. My eyes weren't fixed where they should be. I was so excited by Kenko's flashing lights and the idea of a coffee that I failed to notice the big pile of cups next to me in the machine and the big sign that tells you exactly what to do with the coffee cups. My eyes weren't where they should have been. I was a stargazer. I wasn't a witness, if we think back to our readings from Acts. I was so distracted by something else that my eyes weren't fixed on where they should have been. And in our Acts reading, we have, I think, a pretty similar thing with the disciples, maybe not at a coffee machine, but they were so distracted at what was going on in front of them, and then nothing was really happening, that they failed to notice that next to them, these two angels were there saying, what are you doing, guys? Why are you staring up into the sky? Why do you stand here ignoring the stack of empty coffee cups looking at you, David? Why do you stand here looking into the sky? The challenge for me as I was reading these passages is, where are my eyes? Am I a stargazer? Do I just look around and think, yeah, Jesus is lovely, I love God, that's all well and good. Or actually, are my eyes grounded at what God is up to, often right next to me, and I haven't even noticed? And Paul, in our reading to the Ephesians today that we heard about, challenges us about our gaze as well. He says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which you are called, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Hope, riches, and power. And I wonder if I am often piously gazing upwards. Or do I have my eyes down as I look to my church and my community and think, okay, I need to be a witness of hope. I need to tell people about the riches of Jesus. And I need to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Luke 2 talks about the importance of this witnessing. He says, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Where is our gaze? I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city till you've been clothed with power. We are witnesses of hope. We are witnesses of the riches of Jesus Christ, and we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is talked about in Acts 1, verse 8. I know I'm skipping forward to Pentecost a bit, but I'm a charismatic, so I'm allowed to. But if it wasn't for ascension, we wouldn't have Pentecost, would we? And in Acts 1, verse 8, we are told, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, in your local area, in our communities. We'll be witnesses in Judea and Samaria, those places you might not want to go to, and to the ends of the earth. Those ends of the earth are places that don't yet know the gospel. And actually, in today's society, the ends of the earth are probably a bit closer than we physically think of it being the ends of the earth. There are probably people next door to us who might as well be the ends of the earth. I don't know if you feel like you're clothed in power from on high this morning. I don't. But the truth is that the ascension of Jesus leads to the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that means his power and presence comes on us, his church. We are empowered to be witnesses. I don't need to listen to my emotions that tell me that I'm not powerful. The Word tells me that I'm powerful. Jesus himself tells me that I'm powerful. Not because of me, thank goodness, but it's all because of him. And that he chooses us to partner with him in riches and glory. His Spirit empowers us to testify of what we have seen. Active witnesses. What do witnesses do? They point to past events that are important. If you're in court, if you're a witness, you pull out past events and you say, this has happened and it's important because of this. And as I was writing this, I did get a sense that for some of us maybe here this morning, what we have experienced seems a long time ago. Maybe we've seen God do amazing things and we've partnered with God as we've seen miracles, we've seen supernatural happenings and God's done amazing things, but that has seemed a long time ago. That we've seen God do mighty acts, we've observed God's deliverance, but maybe fear's crept in or weariness or religion. Maybe you knew that you used to be a witness and you felt like you had power from on high, but this morning actually you feel a bit more like a passive stargazer. Where are you? What were those disciples doing? They were stood there going, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? Maybe some of us here feel like that this morning. And I think the first thing to acknowledge is that's okay to feel like that. There's no condemnation. It's easy to feel guilty and that makes us feel worse. So if that is you this morning, if that's us this morning, that's okay. We're allowed to acknowledge that and be truthful. But the good news for us is that his presence and power through his Holy Spirit is still here. And we read that Holy Spirit in our reading from Ephesians, that's the same power that brought Jesus back to life again. He exerted that power and brought Jesus to life. And that power is in you and me. I struggle to get out of bed in the morning without a coffee. But I have to remind myself that I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me that brought Jesus back to life. And if the Holy Spirit can do that, surely he can get me up out of bed with a smile on my face. You see, the ascended King Jesus, pours his Spirit onto us, his witnesses. The coming of his power and presence compels us to speak of these mighty acts that we might be seeing now, or we might look back to the past and remember. We speak of the goodness of God who breaks the power of hell. Jesus, who went around for 40 days before the ascension, preaching the kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus on earth now. Too often we look, I think, to the kingdom of God coming later on. And it's a long way away. And in a sense, that's true. But there's also a real sense that the kingdom of God is here now when we see the rule and reign of Jesus breaking through. As we see the sick healed, as we see demons cast out, as we see people coming to faith in Jesus, people falling and confessing Jesus as Lord, as we see good news preached to the poor. So the challenge for us this morning, maybe, the challenge for me definitely, is to make a conscious effort to be a powerful witness. It's so tempting to stand around and be a stargazer. Where have you gone, Lord? Woe is me. Where's Jesus gone? It's easy. It's human nature. We've all done it. But the challenge from the Ascension reading this morning, I think, is to be a powerful witness. To ground our eyes. To have our eyes fixed on our communities. To see where God is up to. And so often it can be next to us. These angels appearing without us noticing. It's a challenge for us to do it in the power of his Spirit, which enables us, men and women of God, to go out and see the kingdom come. So as the band come up, we're going to have a time to think about what that means for us this morning. Because the Word tells us you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I don't know this morning where you stand on that spectrum of being a stargazer, of being a witness. If you're anything like me, it kind of tumbles between them both depending on what day I'm having. But we're just going to have a moment to say, come Holy Spirit and reveal to us what it is you'd have us learn from this passage. So can I invite you to stand with me if you're comfortable to do so? And we're just going to pray and then we're going to sing a song together.